Welcome to Make a Difference, a podcast about reflection and self-improvement. Each month, the podcast will choose a series of quotes centered around a topic for reflection and then thoughts for discussion and implementation. We all get stuck sometimes, and these shows are designed to show us a way to get unstuck. These shows are published Monday through Friday. Join us daily to make a difference on how you view your personal outlook and hopefully improve it. We will kick off the show with your host, Mark Quinn, after this short break.
Welcome back to Make a Difference. I am excited today because I have someone sitting across from me that I really want to introduce you to. Billa Boyle is a mental health professional in Solon, Ohio, that has been helping me work with mindfulness. And I really believe that he has a story that can be of interest to you and help you grow and work. If you've been following the show for any length of time, you know I present a quote a day and do a little bit of reflection and hope to try and get myself on a path. And Bill's been working with me in a way to try and increase my awareness of being mindful. And I think what he shares in this conversation can help you grow yourself along the way. And so, Bill, welcome, and thank you so much for joining us on the show. I mean, give us a second. Who's Billa Boyle?
Mark, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. Who is Billa Boyle? Well, so I went into retirement about 10 years ago. I had had some pretty serious medical issues. And at the same time, my wife's parents became ill and in their last days. So I became their primary caretaker. So that gave me purpose and direction at the time. But while I was doing the caretaking on a full-time basis, I started to, it became very difficult. And I started to go through some depression, which kind of led me to sort of isolating myself in addition to taking care of them. But I discovered some readings by a gentleman by the name of David Hawkins. And he's a psychiatrist who's fairly renowned, and I became enamored with his writings, and I would just sit and drink in the writings that he had, and I read all of his books probably three times, and it was on mindfulness and how to get into the present moment, which was the gist of what he was trying to talk about. So that led me on my way to this path of mindfulness, and I eventually came out of the depression. And I decided to open up a practice, and I'm utilizing the mindfulness in the practice.
I want to put something on the table here and get the elephant in the room right out of the way early. When you talk about mindfulness, people have stereotypes that come to their—
Yes, for sure.
They come to their focus of meditation, and mindfulness is just not that.
No, mindfulness gets the sort of the label of religiosity, which tends to be a turnoff to a lot of people. But really, it's a very secular approach that all it is paying attention to the present moment on purpose and non-judgmentally. And that's a definition by a psychologist by the name of Jon Kabat-Zinn, who's one of the mindfulness gurus. And it's really about the simplicity of being present that allows one to be the most effective in various aspects of their life.
And I think being present is something that is worth exploring a little bit more because, you know, as you and I were working together, anxiety about the future, what if, and you can just spin yourself right into a stressful state that you're just ineffective. Or you can go the other way. I regret what I did. Neither of those things you have the ability to control.
Correct.
And I think as you helped me focus on just being in the present, what's come about from this and been really helpful to me is now I'm aware if I start to deviate into those paths of the future or the past, and I have a choice. I can go down those paths. I can spin myself up.
Mm-hmm.
Or I can choose to sit down and look at the mindfulness of the moment and say, this is what's in front of me right now. This is what I can control.
Right. The practice of mindfulness, actually, there was research done, and I'm not sure who did this, but 51% of the time we're not in the present moment. So by definition, that means we've all missed half of our life. And I think that's a fairly profound realization. But the notion of accepting our interior, accepting the fact that we are having thoughts and feelings, is without judgment. And that's the key. Psychology now has evolved in a way where we've moved away from trying to change thoughts and change feelings. And the research indicated that that wasn't working. So now the push is to be accepting of that, accepting what we're feeling, what we're thinking. Because if we can have our interior at the same time, then without trying to get rid of it, then we can be more effective in engaging in that present moment.
Yeah. And I think that's the takeaway I took from exploring this, you know, is that I now have a moment to sit down, focus on who I want to be, how I want to be. How do I be the best husband? How do I be the best father? How do I be the best person? How do I be the best teacher? How do I be the best designer? Whatever it is. I mean, I wear many hats. Everybody that's listening to us right now wears many hats.
Mm-hmm.
The key is being present in the moment to understand what it is you would like to do. Be accepting of the anxiety that may come about for fear of change. That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Accept that.
Mm-hmm.
And move forward about what it is that you want to do. Then you can move forward about how you want to plan. It's actually two different steps.
Yes. You want to pay attention to who's doing the noticing. That's a very profound question. When we're observing our interior and we're looking at thoughts and feelings, the thoughts and feelings, the analogy would be that they're the clouds. They come and go, and they're transient. It's profound to think that we are not our thoughts and feelings. We have thoughts and feelings. So that gives us some distance from identifying with those as us. But if we look at the observer, who is it that's watching? That's a critical question. And that's the constant. That's what mindfulness entails, is it becoming in touch with the observer who's noticing the clouds, i.e. the thoughts and feelings going through. And that's what makes it such a simplistic yet profound experience.
And I think when you're talking about who the observer is, so much of today's society is about getting caught up about what others think about us. And you said something that's really, I think, the key is that non-judgmental, being non-judgmental of yourself. This is where I am.
Mm-hmm.
I need to accept.
Mm-hmm.
I need to be patient with myself. I need to figure out this is what I'm dealing with. And
sure.
It's okay.
Sure. Right. Yeah. The push now, Mark, the model now in acceptance and commitment therapy is one whereby we do accept what's going on in the face of valued behavior going in a valued direction. That's the way psychology now is talking about what's called transdiagnostic. We're no longer looking at specific diagnoses and looking, but we're looking at behavioral change in the form of psychological flexibility, which means being able to have what's going on within us at the same time, but still being able to move forward with valued behavior and committed behavior. So that's a very different perspective than working on each individual diagnosis per se.
I can't stress enough the fact of how calming it can be when you realize that what you're actually being stressed out about doesn't matter.
Yes, yes.
It's in either the future or the past.
No, it's all about practice, and it's not exciting work, and it might come across as boring, but with practice, you can get really good at this, and it really has profound effects on your functioning in all areas of life.
And I can say from the work that we've done, as I've become more sensitive to it, I can feel the changes in the body as to where I held stress, where I held anxiety and things like that, that no longer are part of the equation now. Because when I become aware of it, I can take a moment and address that And it centers the mind, it clears the mind, and it doesn't allow me to spiral. And I think that's really, you know, as I do the show, part of the reason for taking a quote and reflecting on it, this has been some of my own homework a little bit of working through the process where publishing the show is my commitment to myself to make sure that I'm doing my homework.
Mm-hmm.
And I work through, this is what I'm thinking about today. And you'll people that have heard the show know that's how I close every show. That's what I'm thinking about today, you know, and it can be whatever it is. And right. I think that's the thing I took away from working with you is that about being just what I can control. That's what I can address. That's what I can focus on. And that's what makes a difference.
Sure. And often it's about, not often, it is about letting go. I mean, we can be inundated with guilt and shame, and it's an art form, Mark, to be able to first become aware of that and be accepting of it, and then ultimately to be able to let go of that. And that's probably another podcast, I suspect, on how to do that.
And I think, you know, that's something that I would share. If the concept of mindfulness and being able to center yourself and focus on what you can control is of really interest to you, find a mental health professional in your area. Bill is in Solon, Ohio, and I would encourage you to check out his services. And, you know, I'll have his website and contact information in the show notes. But it's something that will be very life-changing once you learn how to think about how you approach yourself and what you're thinking about.
Yes. Absolutely.
Self-reflection. It's such a casual word, but it's very powerful. And as society is dealing with all the things that we've dealt with over the last several years with COVID and the stressors and all these different things, learning to be able to center yourself and be able to calm the mind is life-changing.
It's the key to effective functioning in the world, Mark, without a doubt.
As I say, Bill, I really want to thank you for coming and talking with us today and giving a little bit about this. As I said, I would encourage people listening, research the concept of mindfulness and make it part of your practice, because there's many different ways to approach it, but it really is something that can help you be a better you. I really thank you for joining us today, and let's do this again.
Mark, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me, and I look forward to the next time. Thank you.
That's what I'm thinking about today, and thank you for joining us, and we'll see you on our next show.
If you like what you're hearing on the show, make the choice to subscribe today. The show is gaining listeners all over the world, and we're grateful for your support. If you have any thoughts or comments about the show, reach out to us at makeadifferencenow2020@gmail.com. We look forward to seeing you on our next episode.